You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Open up the door. Now welcome in, super fans, because Mike and Maddie are back again. It's Christmas time, the season of giving. We got a big bag. Now guess what's in it? Another dope episode. What up, bro? What's going on, Maddie?
What's going on, Mike? It seems that you're definitely in the mood for the season. You got all your cheer. You're ready to hand out those presents you got in your bag?
Hey, bro, I got a little eggnog over here. It's a virgin eggnog, all right, guys? I don't have any alcohol, any liquor in it, but it's tasting kind of good right now. I'm sipping on it. I'm definitely feeling the spirit of, we love the holiday season. And, we're definitely going to give you guys a nice big gift today on this episode. Definitely super fans. But, Maddie, so we had a little, little time here to get back on track right now. And definitely got to go back and talk about this 2025 MLS Cup. Shout out to you, Broski. You were right and exact. Your soccer crystal ball was perfecto. I mean, you called it down the line. You said 3-1 Miami, and just so happens that's what it was.
Yeah, sometimes you can see things very clearly. I didn't have the plot down 100%, but I did have the score 100%. So I don't think that anybody could have predicted the plot, because it was up and down and sideways. And I know for me personally, there was times where I was screaming at the screen, at the TV, for things that was going on, certain players, certain tactics, certain coaches. It had the entire smorgasbord going on for sure. It was a great game. Excellent game.
Yes, it was. It was fun, Maddie. You and I were going back and forth. And as you mentioned, it was a buffet, so to speak, of BS going on out there. And it started off early, Maddie, with Ocampo. I think his name says it all. No disrespect to young player, talented player, but I think you brought the marshmallows and the hot dogs and the s'mores, right, to the Finals Cup. Because you came out there and that on goal, Maddie, just was like a punch in the gut to Vancouver.
Yeah, it was. It seemed so lackadaisical, so just out of place. I mean, because the ball just barely struck him while he was in stride, and it goes in. I don't know what dude was thinking. His first half that he had was abysmal. We were talking back and forth amongst ourselves, and it was so bad we thought he was throwing the match. I mean, it was that bad of a first half. He did redeem himself in the second half a little bit, kind of, played a little bit more drive and passion. His passes were a little bit better. But in that first half, I mean, it was really bad. As soon as he touches the ball, it was just like, it was bad. And we even said that. I was like, I hate this guy's even still in the match. Like, Sorensen needs to take him out. It was that poor of a half for Ocampo. But, I mean, at least he did redeem himself a little bit in the second half. But, I mean, in a game where, I mean, it's literally game of inches, where every player has to do their part to the best of their ability. I know it sounded like the Patriots here, but, just basically do your job. He didn't do his job. I mean, you can't play a half a game and expect to, give up an own goal, play a half a game, play really bad, and then play better in the second half and redeem yourself. So I give his performance, I give him a D-. Like, he was on borderline of failing grade, because it was just, whew. If Matty Savage had been the coach, he wouldn't have been out there in the second half. Just saying that.
Yikes. Matty Savage is pouring the sauce on early, guys. is heating up right now. Yeah, I got to agree with you. And I don't want to just, you know, go in on this kid, but some of the unforced errors, Maddie, some of the mental errors, like he was just literally almost like he was passing the ball to Inter Miami when they were getting in position to score. And speaking of positions and possessions, Maddie, you were beforehand, you were just speaking. Vancouver dominated their possessions, Maddie. You said it was 65% to 35%, which is crazy to me, right? You would think with all of the opportunities that prevailed themselves or presented themselves, excuse me, to Vancouver, they would have cashed in on them because they dominated after that on goal. Pretty much they played at a stalemate first half. But Vancouver had so many opportunities that they squandered. I mean, the ball hitting the goal post, it was just crazy. It was crazy, Matty, and frustrating to say the least. And guys, it was definitely some profanity messages. We were going back and forth, you know, in the spirit of the game. I wanted to pull my hair out, Maddie. I wanted to get a pair of pliers and pull my teeth out because I'm like, I look at the coach too, Maddie. Look, let's go there. I'm going to go there. Did he make a tactical error here, Maddie, by taking out the wrong individual? Because Ahmed, he scored that goal. That was a beautiful goal he scored. And all of a sudden, he's playing with a lot of energy. I mean, and all of a sudden, somebody wants to pull the plug on this kid.
Yeah, it was a tactical blunder by Sorensen. That was the one, I say, one issue that I have with what he did. He had a very good game plan. They come out, you know, for the most part. I mean, other than, like I said, Ocampo, we kind of then went in on him. But the rest of the team was behind the goal of winning the game. Ahmed scores in the 60th minute. We were going crazy, you know, screaming and yeah, it's a tie game. And yeah, to see him be one of the first ones out in the 68th minute, literally just 8 minutes after he scored the goal, was a head scratcher. Because I know you would text me and said, "What's going on? Why did he do that?" I really have no idea why he made that move. We were talking back and forth. Ryan Gauld went in for Ali Ahmed. And we were saying that maybe that Ryan Gauld should have went in for
Brian White.
Yeah, Brian White. That one should have been a like-for-like swap and keep Ali Ahmed out there because, I mean, he did score your goal. Why take him out? He's the goal scorer. They did put in Jaden Nelson. And that was a good one, but I wouldn't have taken him out. I may have even taken out Sabi, who was playing well in his own right. But if I'm the coach, I'm taking out Brian White because he really didn't have, you know, I think you mentioned he had one shot. He had one header, shot on goal. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking out White, putting in Gauld, and then continuing out and getting those guys, getting Ahmed, getting Sabi to put that pressure on, to see if you can change the game up. And then if they need this to be subbed out, because they were putting in some work. I will say that much. They were putting in work rate, pressing. They earned that 65% of the possession. I mean, just how they were playing, getting the turnovers and everything else. So that would have been the change that I would have made. And also, whenever they went down, because as soon as they made that that Ahmed and Ryan Gauld swap, uh-huh, right after that one, because that happened in the 68th minute, the 71st, so 3 minutes later, that's whenever Messi assisted to DePaul, who got his goal. And yes, while I'm thinking about it, so I don't forget, if DePaul doesn't score that goal, he probably has, other than that goal, what did he do in that game? He had a terrible game. Other than that goal, the goal salvaged his game as an individual player. Because he doesn't have that goal, it's like, what are you doing out there? You're supposed to be the next highest paid player behind Messi, and you're going to be, you know, coming in this high profile signing and whatever. It's like, dude, where were you at? You were a ghost. That's my little tidbit on him. But yeah, you got to be on point with your substitutions, and the fact that they were consistently trying to go to Jaden Nelson, they're late. I mean, it got very predictable, got kind of stale. They didn't need to do that. That was where things kind of started to unravel for the Whitecaps later on in the game.
Yeah, totally agree, Maddie. And like I said, shout out to our guy Mueller, Thomas Mueller, super duper star coming in there and just, you know, raising the level of play and just that experience that he, you know, and he had the ups on Messi, guys. We had the famous episode, the last episode, and we talked about that and pretty much the battle of the Titans between the two greats. And overall, Maddie, he had the, you know, he had the ups on him. He had, you know, one more than he lost against Messi. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I kind of picked those guys. Of course, I was going with the underdog. It's just, I just feel like a lot of squandered opportunities here, Maddie. And I'm going to give, look, I ain't got to kiss Messi's backside no more than anybody else, but I will give him his props, give him his flowers, because I love his leadership out there, Maddie. I love, like you said, he assisted on both goals. You know, he did a great job of just running the show, so to speak, out there, right? And he knows how to play within himself. He draws all the attention. All eyes is on him. Shout out to Tupac. But Messi knows how to keep everyone else involved and keep them on their toes. I just marvel at how he's able to play the whole game. He knows how to conserve his energy. He knows when to use that burst. And I will give him that. You know, like I said, guys, we're not hating on the Pink Flamingos. We just, you know, we're not those bandwagon guys. So that's why I just wanted to say that. But I will give him the props. Maddie, shout out to Miami, Inter Miami, moving into the new stadium next year. That's going to be crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that fan base is just right now growing exponentially as we see here, Maddie. And definitely want to give them their props. Vancouver, hey, nothing to be ashamed of. Super fans up there. You guys had a great season. Excellent team. I mean, man. Got to come back stronger, learn from this, and hopefully make it back again next year. But Maddie, I want to transition. There was a major announcement made the other day with a certain keeper, an all-world keeper over here in the MLS, and he made a move, and me and you kind of, we disagreed a little bit. We bumped heads a little bit. And, you know, you being a Capricorn, me being a Taurus, so we got the horns on our head. But we bumped heads a little bit on it. But, yeah, Maddie, tell me a little bit about this this young, spry individual goalkeeper here trying to make a move.
Yes, so the news that Mike is referring to is it's been reported that formerly Minnesota United keeper Dane St. Clair, who just won the Goalkeeper of the Year for the past MLS season, yes, reportedly from my favorite guy on Twitter, Tom Bogert, is that he's going to be joining me on a contract. And what? Yes, yes, big surprise. And Mike, you sent me an article from either today or yesterday from the Twin Cities up there, that the front office is getting out in front of this and saying, like, look, we did everything we could. We offered him, you know, the most that we could and did everything that we could to keep him. But, I mean, he's wanting to go down there and join Messi in Miami for whatever reason.
Yeah. this, guys, Maddie and I both are fierce competitors. Like I said, we do this for the love, the competitive spirit, and the integrity of the game. This is what we do, right? We love sports. We love soccer, right? So anytime I see a move like this, Maddie, immediately I go to the culture, right? I go to the culture. You know, a lot of these guys want to go team up. You know, Miami, and it's interesting, it's in Miami, right? You know, the other guy that was down there stacking teams and making super teams. And it just seems as if, Maddie, the entire league is bending over backwards to, you know, kiss, you know, Inter Miami's ass to help this team stay on top. That's what it feels like to me. So when I saw that initially, I was disappointed, Maddie. I was disappointed in St. Clair. I'm like, bro, you guys have a great young team, great young nucleus, great young coach. I mean, those fans up there, super fans, shout out super fans in Minnesota, Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. You guys are great. You guys are great. It's a joy watching, you know, watching the games up there, Maddie, and the fans, how, you know, supportive they are, the energy they bring. And for this young man to leave like that, it's, man, it ain't even punching the gut. It's like an uppercut. Like, bro, they did everything. And I respect the team, like you said, Maddie, the ownership, the Loons. They got out in front of it, pretty much letting the fans know, look, we did everything we could. And, hey, dude just want to go down, you know, want to go down to Miami, I guess, you know, play with Messi and those guys, you know. And, you know, more power to them. I want the best for these young players. You know what I'm saying? Whatever they feel is best for them, Maddie. But the competitor in me, Maddie, just, I just hate this. I just got to keep it real, man. I do not like this. Not one iota.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I don't like it. But me being the rational person that I am, like I told you, I think that it's a good business proposition for Dane St. Clair because he's betting on himself. He's betting on himself that, like I was telling you, he's already now got goalkeeper of the year within MLS. He's already, if not the number one, he's in the mix for number one for the Canada national men's national team. He's got all those accolades, but he's not getting the eyeballs or the attention that he may want. He may have that ambition to not be in just MLS, but, you know, in the international game, either in England, Spain, Italy, et cetera, et cetera. Fill in the blank, Germany. And what's one way that he can do that? Well, like I was telling you, right now, the MLS has two very big media darlings, and that's LAFC and Miami, for sure, because of the stars that they have assembled down in both of those teams. And he chose one of the two, which is Miami. They had an open slot. LAFC's already got their goalkeeper, you know, situation kind of settled. I mean, if he wanted to, he could have maybe said, hey, if you guys are interested, I can go there, this and that, whatever. But he's probably not going to beat out Hugo Lloris. He's probably not, you know, going to take his job right now. So he had to look, and that's what he did. He decided to bet on himself and say, hey, if I go here and I do well, all of the teams around the world are going to be, because they're going to be watching Messi. That's just the way it is facts of the game right now. And they're also going to see who's on the field with Messi. That's another draw that Messi has for this Inter Miami team is guys will take pay cuts. Guys will take chances or, you know, kind of similar. We've seen these in the NBA anyways, where when they assemble these super teams, you have the high paid, you know, star players may take up all of the salary. And the other guys who just want to be along for the show take the scraps because they're just glad to be there, or they're taking a veteran kind of a sweetheart deal where they just want to play because they didn't got the years in, the experience in, and they want to win a championship. And that's kind of what it feels like to me for Dane St. Clair. He wants to win within league. He wants to get outside of the league. And so he didn't take the most money that he could in Minnesota. He took a pay cut to go play here in Miami, and he's going to get attention elsewhere if he does well. So, like I said, he bet on himself, but he's risking becoming last week's news because Miami shows no loyalty to anybody except for Messi, number 10. That's the only person
they have
any loyalty to. So if he has a couple of bad games or even picks up a knock, I mean, think about it. Drake Callender was their guy until he wasn't, and it went downhill very quickly.
Now we got Dane St. Clair,
hey, bet on yourself all you want. I hope the best for you, but whenever you're out of the league or out, you know, from Miami or whatever the case may be, we told you so, bro. We told you so.
Yeah. No, very good assessment, Maddie. Yeah, definitely watch your back, guy, because I'm looking here at the this is from the, what is this, the Twin Cities Pioneer Press, guys. You can look up the article Maddie referred to. And it says that the Minnesota United's leadership owner, Bill McGuire, CEO Sherry Ballard, and Chief Soccer Officer Khaled El Ahmed all met with Dane St. Clair, right, on Sunday. And they said the pitch was clear. The Loons were serious in their effort to retain the 2025 MLS Goalkeeper of the Year with a new multi-year contract that would keep them in Minnesota. And this is from the L. Ahmed. He said, we offered him a very good package that would have made him a top two or three paid goalkeeper in the league, right? So they pretty much, Maddie, they rolled out and they said, ultimately, we did everything we could, but it was Dane's decision and we respect that. So I'm looking here, Maddie, it wasn't even about the bag. Ho, 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 guys, it wasn't about the bag. He didn't want the Santa Claus bag of money, right? Because he's taking less money to go down in Miami. But as you mentioned, Maddie, the exposure, right? The exposure, the international exposure. Now he's in the spotlight. Now he's getting the opportunity. The whole world, the whole globe is going to be watching him. Now I'm going to push back a little bit, Maddie, because as we know, and we're going to get a chance to check out one of these matches next year, the FIFA World Cup is going to be here, Maddie. He's representing Canada. He's going to get some exposure right there. I mean, when the team, think about it, Maddie, when the whole world is going to be here and he's going to be representing Canada, so he's going to get all the spotlight he needs. Now, going down there to Miami, hopping on the bandwagon, right, on the chuck wagon train, going down there to Miami. As you mentioned, Maddie, we were talking before the show, you named off a bunch of players. It was like three or four players you mentioned where Miami pretty much stabbed him in the back, right? They chewed him up and spit him out, guys. This guy is one of the best in the league, if not the best keeper in the league. I love his intensity, his enthusiasm, how he plays. He's an excellent keeper. We saw him make all type of plays during the playoffs. And I don't know, Maddie. I think he sold out. You know what I'm saying? I think dude sold out. Sold out on his teammates, sold out on the super fans up there in Minnesota. I wish him the best. Sincerely, I wish him the best. But, you know, sometimes when you run down there chasing somebody else's legacy, it's hard to build one and make one of your own. And I think this may be the situation with him. I hope not. I want him to be successful, guys. Don't get it twisted. But that's like some KD. I'm using an NBA reference, LeBron and KD type-ish. You know, these guys hopping teams like they're playing tic-tac-toe or something. So, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a good assessment, really, because, I mean, I was naming off to you, I mean, guys like DeAndre Yedlin, you got Kamal Miller, who's there, like I said, they're still in the league, Drake Callender, that we're there before Messi, and as soon as, you know, he gets there, it's either we need to upgrade these positions or we need to trade them off or this and that. And, yeah, I mean, it didn't take very long, and those guys were gone. And if you look at the team now, I mean, I understand teams are going to change, but their team has drastically changed from 2023 to 2024 and now 24 to 25 and just going forward. So you got to ask yourself, do I want to enter into that cauldron of it's either, you know, hit the ground running, be at your best, and if you're even slightly off, I mean, you're going to be replaced by some young upcoming goalkeeper from Argentina or South America or something else. I mean, it's a wild situation. It's one that I wouldn't put myself in personally, but hey, bet on yourself, because if it works out to his benefit, and let's just say it's a 2-year deal and he does 1 year and is excellent or whatever, you might get some calls from Europe or whatever. And that's probably Miami's look at this as well. Hey, not only do we get a very good goalkeeper in the league, but if it works out well and he wants to move, we got leverage and we can make some money on this deal. So don't count that out as an option. I mean, this is all business. I was looking to see. Someone made a comment on Twitter about Dane St. Clair and about the play styles and the different. So going from Minnesota, who's very defensive, and going to, yes, Miami, who we've talked about bleeds goals left and right. And it's like, is he going to be that, you know, it's like the meme where tape? It's like the flex tape where you basically just take that and put it over the water to stop the water. That's what Miami is trying to do with their defense. They're just trying to flex tape and saying the meme that I've seen is like management, you know, everything's going really bad. It's like the water's coming out of the tube and it's like pizza party. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what they're doing with Dane St. Clair. It's like they got the flex tape and they're just putting it over the porous defense that gives up goals. And it's like, okay, best goalkeeper in the league. Here you go. Fix the defense for us. I don't personally think that that's going to make a difference. I mean,
wow.
He'll stop his share of goals. That's for sure. He'll help out. But is he going to single-handedly fix the defense? No. Defense takes just like the entire game, it takes the team. You can't just fix one position. Okay, that's it. We got it. It's fixed. You're going to still need to get your center backs and your wing backs and everything else on the same page and doing whatever. Falcone is like one of their best defenders right now, and even he's not, you know, great. I mean, he does his thing. He plays his mind games and whatnot with his hair and all of that stuff. But they spent a lot of money on Thomas Avilés, who's been kind of a flop. Wygant, another one. I think he's not they didn't pick up his option because he was on loan anyway, so he's going to be going back. So their defense is not going to be like vastly improved for this guy, and the style of play isn't going to help. So he could be setting himself up for failure.
Wow. And a great analogy, Maddie, with the flex tape. I like that because that's pretty much it. The defense, Miami defense, is their Achilles heel, Maddie. We've spoken about this ad nauseum. They were able to overcome that because they were on a tear scoring all of these, goals. And shout out to, wasn't it Allende? What did he score, Maddie? Like nine? I think he scored nine goals during the playoffs. I think that was like a record. Shout out to him. But, no, going back to what you were saying, Maddie, definitely great point that you made, because just thinking about it, now it's going to put more pressure on him, right? Because the defense is weak, now it's going to be more shots on goal by the opposing team. So now he's going to be put, like you said, not on the pedestal, but now he's going to have, you know, more pressure on him to try to, save these guys. Whereas Minnesota had one of the best defenses in the league, and as a unit, they were great. And he they complement each other. Of course, we know this, but great point, Maddie. And I didn't see it that way, but yeah, it could be some issues that need tissues for our guy. But again, guys, we wish you the best, St. Clair. Do your thing down there. You're in Miami now, and hey, ball out down there. That's the best I could say. Yeah, broski, since we're in the Christmas spirit, and we're talking about the bag, right? Santa's bag. Let's talk about the situation with FIFA and the World Cup next year, Maddie. They just made a major announcement that the price of the bag just went up. We're talking the Louis, the Gucci, whatever you want to call it, the Birkin bag, the Dolce & Gabbana. Maddie, they're giving 50 milli to the winning team in the World Cup next year. And this has been a real major announcement, particularly because of these high astronomical prices of some of the tickets, Maddie. As you guys know, Maddie and I, hopefully we're going to be able to attend one of the matches. It's almost like a lottery, or they have like a window, Maddie, where you can get in there and try to get a ticket. So I've had my bumps with FIFA, Maddie, as we've documented in previous episodes. But this is a big deal right now, Maddie. What's your thoughts on this bag right
here? 50 million is a lot of money. That's what I have to say about that. That's a lot of money to the winning team. But did you see the bigger number? You sent me the link with the winning team is getting 50 million. But did you see the entire purse? That is an even bigger, larger sum of money. Yes.
Oh, really?
784 million, I believe. Almost $1 billion. Because, you don't just pay out just the winning team. I mean, you got second place and third and, round of 16, all that. So, some of these guys, I mean, just for placing and everything else, they're going to make in, multiple millions. So, the the money is going to be shared for sure. But just, I mean, almost a billion, $750 million. It's a lot of cash. That's a lot of money. I cannot believe how much money is going to be paid out. It's pretty incredible.
In the words of Bo Schembechler, RIP, whoa, Nelly, that's a boatload of cash right there. And I love it. You know, I mean, they like it. I love it, Maddie. I just found it interesting because this same entity, FIFA, which it was a couple times, you know, I went back and forth. And Maddie, you kind of brought me back to reality because, guys, I was going to do security here in Atlanta for the when they had the CONCACAF, right? And they weren't paying anything, Maddie. They want us to show up, work security for these high-profile matches. I mean, these are all of the top teams from around the world. And they wanted to give us a hat and a T-shirt and, you know, a food voucher, Maddie. They literally wanted us to volunteer. And that's why I felt a way about FIFA. You know, I felt it was disrespectful. But now looking at this, Maddie, you know, 50 mil, and then you said that the total purse is like you said, almost a billy. So let me see real quick. Let me just run down real quick, Maddie. So apparently the last World Cup, the purse was 42 million. And, of course, Argentina won that one, right? And prior to that, France won it, and they got 38 million. So if you're just thinking about, you know, that's pretty much eight years, and it's going up from 38 to 50 million, Maddie. And I just think that's a testament to the number one sport on the planet. That's right, guys. Soccer, the real football, well, the original football. You know, we got our football over here as Americans, and, you know, it's dope and everything. It's great. But, yeah, man, that just shows you the amount of revenue and money that these guys can, you know, produce with all of the fans around the world coming here to, you know, North America, because it's going to be USA, Canada, Mexico. And I'm not sure if it's going to be in any of the islands or Central American countries, too, as far as hosting the games, Maddie. But, yeah, I think this is really big, Maddie, and I think this could also have a positive impact on soccer here in America, period. U.S. soccer, MLS, as we mentioned, with the exposure, and, you know, all eyes is going to be on us. But, yeah, Maddie, I think this is definitely a good thing. Oh, yeah, let me say this, too. I don't want to be too long-winded. Payouts, so the runner-ups. So whoever finishes in second, Maddie, they're going to get 33 million. Third place, 29 million. Fourth place, 27 million. And they're going all the way down, Maddie. Group stage exit, 9 million per team, plus a guaranteed 1.5 million for participating for all qualified teams. So, everybody's eating over here, Maddie. Everybody's getting, you know, whether they're getting the crumb or they're getting the whole slice of the cake.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, that's a lot of money. I got to edit myself in real time because I'm looking at the article that you sent. The whole pot is not 780, like I said. It's 727 million. That's still a lot of money. And like you said, you're getting a million and a half just for simply participating. And some of these guys, everything for them just to qualify. I mean, getting $1.5 million to, you know, get back to their teams. You think about some of these teams in Africa, for example, that don't have a lot of money. And no shade, right. This is just facts. Mm-hmm. But for them to get that money and for them have the purse as big as it is and the teams getting in and whatnot is going to help them grow the game. So it benefits FIFA. It's like it's a win-win situation. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, you can brag about how much money it is, but the more that you can give to more teams, more nations and everything else is going to help them to reinvest that money. You know, well, you would hope anyways. Some of these places might be a little bit more corrupt, and that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother different episode. But if they're putting the money to you, in the right way, then you can see them basically planting seeds like we did in 94 here. And then and we got MLS now. So maybe that it being here and we hosting, you know, it here, it'll plant even more seeds. You know, we have a small little MLS garden and maybe, you know, it'll be a very, very big, luscious sort of situation in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now. One can hope.
Oh, no, definitely. I agree with that. I think and shout out to Arthur M. Blank, right? Blank Check. He's spearheading U.S. soccer over here. And I just want to, you know, shout those guys out, Maddie, because the facility they're building over here in our Atlanta area is crazy. It's crazy. Literally, when they were building it, Maddie, remember they had something, I think I sent it to you, where we could buy a brick, right, of the foundation, and they'll put your name on it. And as far as you being a contributor or donating to the, you know, the whole, this is literally the infrastructure of USA Soccer. And I thought it was dope, but I you know, the price was a little steep. You know, Maddie and I give our donation yearly, but the price of the brick was up, Maddie. You know what I mean? To use the term, but anyway, definitely this is I think this is great. I think it's like us, no different than us going to our job. We work, everything we do is based on what? Money, revenue. We work. So these guys, now that this amount of money's out here in some of these countries, as you mentioned, Maddie, that may not be as financially, you know, blessed or whatever, they're going to come out here. This is winner take all, literally. So I like it. I love it. I think this is going to add to the competition. It's going to add to the drama. It's just going to make it a spectacular event here. And, yeah, man, all the cities, they're just all on board with it. And, you know, I think this is going to be, it's going to be very good. They might need to bring a Brinks truck, Maddie, to the championship match, though. That 50 mil might be kind of heavy, you know?
Yeah, I think they just need to go hit that wire transfer for that amount of money because, jeez.
Definitely, definitely. And we're going to transition since we're talking about the bag again, guys. That's the theme of the show, the bag, the Christmas bag. We got a little situation over here with our ladies, Maddie. The very great league it is, the NWSL. Right now, it's been having some issues. You got the Players Association; they're bumping heads and beefing right now, Maddie, with the Board of Governors and the owners. And the whole thing is, it's just been a lot of stuff going on that's been building up to this, because we saw the situation earlier, Maddie, with Trinity Rodman and her situation, where she was trying to get that contract that the Spirit were willing to pay. They were going to pay her the, you know, pay her the money, but apparently the league said no. The Board of Governors said no. We're not going to approve of that, and you know, I thought that was very interesting. And now it has us here, Maddie, where they're literally going at each other over money again, right? And with the salary cap situation. So just briefly, guys, and then I'll let you get in on this, Maddie. There's a rule that the Board of Governors approved of, Maddie, called the High Impact Player Rule, right? And that basically will allow teams to offer certain athletes contracts that go beyond the salary cap, okay? Allowing the league to compete with higher offers from Europe. However, the NWSL Players Association does not agree with the proposal, and it expressed its concerns over what the mechanism would mean for said teams. But, yeah, Maddie, I'm being a little wordy right now, but I'll let you go in a little bit on it and, yeah, speak on this, please.
So it seems like the ladies want more of the share of the pie, and the league has kind of hamstrung themselves because they are still a fairly new league. and they're saying, okay, we can only have this much of, I guess you could say, cap growth per team. They're really hamstringing themselves, from my understanding of it. So the base salary cap is $3.3 million per team, and they have the every year it goes up by a certain percent. Next year is going to be $3.5 million. So like I said, it goes up 200,000, and by 2030, it should be a 5.1 million. So they basically are growing it slowly but steadily. And what the women are arguing is their salary growth is going to outpace what the salary cap growth is. And so with the cap being set at a certain amount, just take Trinity, for example. She might want half of or whatever of a team's entire salary. And it's like, what team can afford it? Whereas if you increase those step caps progressively, you know, that's a good plan for steady growth. But the growth has been explosive, Mike. We've seen it. I mean, the amount of sponsors that the league has, the money's coming in. So why is it that the ladies who are earning the money for these sponsors, for the teams, for the league, why is it that they're getting these incremental small little bits of increase? It's not fair. I mentioned to you, these ladies have all of the bargaining power because they actually have a product that's making them money. Whereas we've talked about the WNBA and their lockouts and everything else. The NBA subsidizes the WNBA. So they didn't really have a place at the table, if you will. Not really, because when you're still losing money, even though when you're increasing in popularity and getting these stars, but still losing money, you really don't have a say-so in the matter. It's just like whatever your financier agrees to, you're going to have to go with. Now, once you start making the money, like the NBA, they're in a position where they can really negotiate, because if they lock out, those sponsors, the team, the league, they're going to be losing out. So as I agree with the league as far as to be pragmatic and to say we're going to increase it, but let's be real, 200,000 increase yearly, that's not going to be enough. I mean, that's really not going to be enough. Just to keep the same amount of players on the team and give them raises, that's 200,000. Let's be real. So you're really not helping your team, the league as a whole, to do these things. I mean, the good positive to this is that they're growing. So, like, take Trinity's situation. If she wanted to, she could, demand that, and then she would have to go to, like, a one of the newer teams that could afford her, and then also bring some people out of college or some lower salary players, and they could make that work. But then from her perspective, from Trinity Rodman's perspective, why would you do that? Okay, yeah, I'm making my money, but I'm not competitive. I'm the only, you got me, and no offense, but smaller paid players who are maybe just straight coming out of college or just aren't quite up to par because they're getting, the amount of money that they're making. So it's a situation for sure. I sympathize with, because I can see it from both sides, but they're going to have to kind of letting off the reins a little bit and lighten the string around that bag so some of these presents can fall later, because someone's being a little bit of a Grinch, seems to be.
Yeah, definitely. And to your point, Maddie, we spoke earlier before the soccer cast. You brought up an excellent point when you were comparing the WNBA situation. You just mentioned it. Whereas you got a league, a lot of talent over there. We're just comparing, guys. These are apples, apples to apples, as far as, okay, you got, professional women's sports, and you got a league that is very popular in the WNBA with a lot of stars. Of course, we know Caitlin Clark and, Asia and a lot of girls over there. They're really big. However, they're not making money, Maddie, as you mentioned, as we know. they're losing money, right? WNBA is losing money. So I don't know their, as far as their business moniker, because they got all the pieces, they got the players, they got all of the ingredients to be successful and be able to make, you know, be profitable. But they're not doing it. And then you go to the flip side of that, Maddie, as you mentioned, the NWSL, they're growing, right? Boston, I love their logo, Legacy. They got, what, four teams coming here. Atlanta's getting a team. And you got two more teams, if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be coming in there. Things like four teams coming, guys. They're growing like crazy right now, right? And as you mentioned, the money's there. They got all type. I looked at their deals, and I was like, wow, they're really smart how they have the streaming deals, Maddie. They're in linear. You know, they got games that's going to be playing on linear TV. It's just, I feel everything is great. And when I see this, I don't like it for the sport, because as we know, we got to give it up to the ladies in America. Women's soccer players are actually worldwide are more successful, or they're better. You know, we'll just keep it real. They're the best. Our women's are the best in the world, Maddie. And it's just sad that, you know, I know it's business, but let me see where I seen it. It was Burke. I was trying to read her what she said. She's like the executive director of the Players Association, Megan Burke. Maddie, I don't know if you saw what she was saying. And this article, guys, is her clutch points. But she said, okay, I'm just read a little bit. She said, we feel this is a significant decision that just doesn't solve a short-term problem, but it affects our long-term future. The permeance that we'll have with regard to how the market is structured, to how rosters are structured, the locker room dynamics, we just don't feel that it delivers anything of value that simply increasing the team salary cap wouldn't, without having negative consequences. And then it says that, Burke says that, okay, the NWSLPA proposed that the league simply raise the salary cap by $1 million by 2026 instead, which would allow teams to decide which players could receive the money. And then she says, the league is trying to control and interfere by trying to dictate which players get paid. What with this pot of funds, our position is that teams, GMs, soccer ops, business folks at the team level are uniquely positioned to make judgment calls about how to structure their rosters, how to negotiate the deals. So she's saying that it shouldn't be left up to the board of governors to decide. It should be up to the teams to decide who gets what. And I got to agree with Megan here. I got to agree with Megan Burke here, Maddie, overall. That should be on it. That's how it should operate, right? Why are the board, I mean, you know, they want to control all the chips. We're playing poker, and they controlling, you know, they're dealing, they're controlling all the chips on the table. Something ain't right with this.
Yeah, and I got to agree with you and that statement 1,000%. Because, like we were saying, the league as a whole is saying that from year to year, it's going to go up 200,000 or whatever. And the GM or the person you said had to say that statement said a million. Executive director. A million is more where it's at, like I said, because not only do you have people going out of contract, and nine times out of 10, the player's going to want more money, not less. Let's just be real. And like I said, in Trinity Rodman's situation, I mean, I did leave out one point, and I needed to clarify from my notes that I had. So the NWSL does not have a one like the MLS has the designated player rule, where you have a maximum markdown, and then above that $1 million threshold or whatever, the team has to pay the remaining balance. Like take Messi, for example, we talked about how he makes $20 million. So essentially, he counts as $1 million, and then the additional amount the team has to cover. In the NWSL, they don't have that. So if your cap is $3 million, you can pay one player $3 million, or three whatever. If it's 3.3, you can pay one player $3 million, but then you only have 300,000 to divide amongst everybody else, and it doesn't seem quite feasible. So that's kind of where Trinity Rodman is running into, like I was saying. So she could go to these newer teams that, you know, have the cap room to sign whatever she's desiring, but there won't be enough money to go to spread around as it is currently. Now, if you increase it, like I said, by $1 million, $1.5 million, I think mm-hmm. that should be the steps. And here's what I will suggest. Make the growth of the salary cap in correlation to the amount of revenue taken in by your sponsors. That's the only thing that makes sense. So that way, if the league is growing, then the salary cap should grow, aka the salaries should grow. That's just that's 100% fair. You shouldn't say, well, the league's growing like a rocket, but you're going to get, you know, you're basically, you know, on a step program. And it's like, if we have 25, 30% growth, you're getting 2%. Like, what? No. Then the ladies are right to fight this and say, nah, this isn't the way it needs to be. A more fair solution is what I just proposed. And guys, the Board of Governors, listen to the super fans on this one. Make it a fair percentage increase. That's the only way to go.
Wow, Maddie, you got that. You sound like a CPA over there, man. Certified, public accountant right there. I love it. Guys, if you're listening, all you executives in the Board of Governors with the NWSL, Maddie just laid the smackdown for you guys. You know, easy peasy business moniker right there. And I don't see what the issue is, Maddie. And as you mentioned, with the MLS with the designated, I think this might, maybe that's the thought process behind this, the high impact player rule. Maybe they're trying to, this is the equivalent of that, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think it is structured properly. And the fact that they voted on it and decided on it without even talking to, you know, the Players Association or these teams about it is, well, I can't even say the teams because they're working. She's actually the commissioner, I would say, is working for the teams, as we mentioned, Maddie. But this is a sticky situation. But it, as you mentioned, Maddie, it has an easy resolution. It ain't that hard, guys. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not rocket science, right here. So, I'm definitely hoping they can work this out, Maddie, because they have so much good going for them. Shout out to my Gotham City girls did their thing. They brought the chip home again and definitely loving it. But for the league as a whole, it's just doing great. So I don't want to see it, you know, get hampered by this, Maddie, because, you know. But if I'm the players, speaking from, you know, their position, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to waver because, as you mentioned, Maddie, they have all the leverage in the world right now.
For sure. Know? And as you mentioned, I think that's the reason why the USL, the women's division swooped in, because they can see weakness. They sense weakness and they can, you know, pillage one of the league's best stars and, you know, pay them and everything. Like, it's just good on them. I mean, this is what competition is all about. I mean, scope out your situation, see what's going on and really, you know, press where your enemy is weak. And that's what they're doing. And it's a good situation if you're Trinity Rodman, because you got all kinds of options. I mean, you got a plethora of options to go from. You can go to a new NWSL team, whether it be Denver or Boston, or even a different one. You said Atlanta, we've mentioned them possibly getting a team, and you could take, you know, a good chunk of their salary if you so choose. You go to USL. You can, you know, stay within to if you really want to stay in Washington. So, hey, the cards are in her hands for sure.
Yes, and as we've observed, everybody knows this. All of these sports, any professional sports, it's a lot of star power. Yeah, we have the great teams, but if you don't have a face of your league per se, then what are we talking about, Maddie? You know what I mean? They're very competitive. We know that they have a lot of very international stars that's been coming over here to play in the NWSL. And it's just been very, like I said, very, very competitive league. And it's growing crazy right now. And I would hate to see this turn into, you know, a mudslinging contest, right? And to use, we're not getting into political, but, you know, going back and forth with this right here. And Trinity Rodman, to her credit, Maddie, I don't see her out here in the media really saying too much. She's kind of cool, calm, and collect. We know her value. We know her worth. We know how much she means to the league. And, you know, I think they're going to be able to get this taken care of, Maddie. I think it's going to be, it'll work itself out. It has to.
Yeah, too much that's true. And I'm going to leave one of the scenarios out. I mean, she could even go to the Premier League over the Women's Premier League. I keep forgetting about that. But they're like I said, endless for Trinity Rodman. That's why she, like we were talking episodes ago about the Kevin De Bruyne, maybe he was going to come over here and he was quiet about it and look, you know, it worked out best for him. She's learning from that situation. When you get out and you talk too much, you end up regretting it a lot of times. And for her, just be quiet and let the offers just flow in and just take the best offer. That's all you got to do. That's literally all you got to do. When you're at the top and you're the best at what you do, this is what you have to do. Just sit there, listen to the offers, take the best one that fits what you want, and then you're a winner. Now, 1,000% winner every time.
I totally agree. It's like playing, you know, like play Texas Hold'em and play, you know, like playing poker. You got to keep the poker face and play it close to the vest right now. Because you're right, Maddie. I just, like I said, shout out to the NWSL. We're going to be covering more of the women also, guys, here, and of course in the national, you know, Premier League and stuff like that, bringing it to the super fans. So definitely stay tuned on that. But yeah, Matt, you got anything else on your plate you want to carve up for the super fans?
Nah, Mike, I think that's gonna wrap us up for this episode. I know, like I said, we got Christmas right around the corner, so I gotta go out and pick up a few last minute gifts.
Well, you better have mine, buddy. All right. Because I'm coming for it, all right? I want my gift. I don't want a lump of coal. I know I've been kind of naughty this year, guys, but, you know, that's what us super fans do. We're passionate. We're crazy out here. And definitely it's been a blessing and to get through this year pretty much, Maddie. We're going to be coming down towards the end here. And we're going to have a little something special, something Maddie came up with. And it's going to be a little something kind of off the off the radar. It's gonna be something different. I think it's gonna be fun, and it's gonna be really enjoyable for you guys. So that's gonna be our gift to you guys also, you know, after Christmas and whatnot. But definitely want to end off on a positive note, guys. Like I said, you know, happy holidays, peace and blessings to all the super fans around the world. Spend some time with your family and, you know, eat, drink, be merry, and be safe. And as always, until next time, guys, I holla.
Merry Christmas, you knuckleheads. Like Mike was saying, we are going to have a special episode, and it's definitely going to be fun. So listen up. We're going to be there for the fans. It's going to be fun. So listen up. All right, you guys, that's it. Later. Till next time.
Joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com.